Alright? If you would be free, if you would be my disciple, if you're a Christian, you will continue in the Word. This is in John 8, chapter 31, 32. You will continue in the truth, and the truth will set you free. Thy Word is truth. Jesus is truth. Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So, as you continue in the written Word, you will discover and learn the living Word. Because the Holy Spirit will make it known to you. As you're born again. So God wants us to be sanctified, that is, made holy. Are you holy? Stay holy. Abide. Don't ever stop it. Jesus said in the 15th chapter, remember, he said, you have been made clean by my what? The Word has made you clean. You're clean. You're righteous, altogether righteous. Now, that means that God, the righteous one, dwells in you, and he will tell you what's right. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Do you know that everybody in the world does what they think is right? You know, people that do wrong say it's right. People that are moral say it's right. Christians say what they do is right. So that doesn't prove a thing, does it? Everybody does. I once asked someone in my family why they did all the wrong things they did. And they said, and they knew it was wrong too. And they said, well, you know, at the time, though, I thought it was right. And how they could think that, I don't know. But I believe them. I believe that there was some way they justified to themselves what they were doing. And they said it so convincingly, it just struck me as, yeah, I guess people always do what they think is right. Even when it's obviously wrong to an outsider, they have their little reasons why, in my case, on Thursday, because, you know, I'm 10 years old, I can do it. They make up some kind of excuse. But there's only one law in the world, God's law. And God's law says be absolutely perfect, 100% clean, pure. That's it. Now, that's nice, isn't it? Because that wipes out all those other kind of laws that, you know, look good or look bad, whatever. This law says be absolutely perfect. And here's what perfection is. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him? There's only one way to get to know him. Just talk about it. Just continue in the Word. You have to spend hours and hours and hours and hours with God. God wants you to spend time. There's nothing to life except knowing him. Now this kind of ruins, you know, a good cocktail party. You know, or a bridge game, or, you know, whatever else. Because the only reason I go to cocktail parties or bridge games or anything else is because my Jesus tells me to. I can go there and have a good time, too. I can go anywhere. Jesus did go everywhere, didn't he? Remember the first place he went was a wedding feast, and they had the fermented grape juice, remember? and he turned to Kool-Aid, you know. No, he didn't make Kool-Aid. He made wine. A few people probably were tipsy. Right? Now, did Jesus go home? You know, I bet he even heard a few of the jokes. You know? But was he uncomfortable? No, he knew what he was there for. He knew exactly why he was there. He wasn't uncomfortable at all. He wasn't shocked by the sin of the world. I mean, he came into a world that's full of sin. I mean, everybody was full of sin in the world. Everywhere he went, he didn't think in church they weren't, and out in wedding parties they were. It's the same thing, no matter where he was. He had to save them all. We have to save the church and the world. Hello? We have to save the church and the world. The church is the worst, not the world. Why? The world is easy to win. Did you know that? Did you know that the world is so easy to win? The only reason the world doesn't come in? Because the church. The church is in the way. Did you know that? Judgment must begin with the household of God. The harvest is ripe. It's the laborers, which ought to be the church, that are few. He's done it. How would you bring people if you got them saved? Bring them into the icebox of the church? You know, they're all on fire for Jesus when they get saved. Bring them to the church and they freeze up. Don't they? When they meet Jesus, they're on fire! Then they get in the church and learn all that religion and they lost it. They don't get to know God. They just get to know tradition and religion and all that junk. Amen? Isn't this exciting? Get rid of all that junk that's in all of us. You know, it's not just in the bad guys. It's in us. It's all in there. Let's get rid of it. Let's be totally free in Jesus. That's what Jesus said. Now, that's not something you can do. That's something that's already been done. I'm just asking you to believe it. Do you know that's what's been done to you? You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. Every thought you have, take it captive. Every emotion you have, take it captive. Every desire you have, take it captive. Everything you think, say, do, feel, senses, everything, take it captive. Can you do it? Sure. Can you do it perfectly? No. Doesn't matter. Even the stuff you fail at, take that captive too. Where you would fail before and feel bad, now fail before and feel good. You have to do what Jesus said, because he says, confess it, get forgiveness, get cleansed, get up, and get going. That's what he says, doesn't he? You can't linger on that thing and feel bad. Your feeling bad won't change it one bit.
Besides, it's a lie. You don't feel bad anyway. Yeah.
When you take a taxi, do you take and say the word over that over and over and from your spirit?
That's a good way to do it.
Therefore, that yeah. will just fail because that thing cannot stand against the word yeah. and the devil cannot stand against
yeah.
the
word. As long as you don't turn that into a little science. But,
no,
but
I mean,
but, yeah,
that is a weapon,
right.
mighty weapon for pulling down
right.
the
Right, that's exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah. Just you know, it's a... When you use the word, there's a little danger here of making it either a written word as a letter or even a spoken word as some kind of a new technique. You know, if I say this 18 times, like doing my beads or something like that, you know, something will happen. As long as it's alive, a rhema, that's what does it. In other words, I'll tell you the difference. The difference is in these two situations where it's a written word, you know, and you're just quoting it or something like that, and here where it's a spoken word and you're speaking it out, the possibility is greater than one might think, that you cannot have an encounter with God here. In other words, it's just words. It's mere words. It's just a mental thing or an emotional trick or something to get you happy again or something like that, you know. I'm just miserable with my affairs. But when it's a rhema, there's always a change in your life. I mean, it's a radical change takes place. You can't, you have to grow. There's always growth. This is where I want to put it. You don't just, here you are, A, and you come to a situation, B, that's negative, and here you are, positive, and then you speak a few words, and B turns to C. You know, here's the words. It's not like that. It's like this. Here you are, A, and you come to situation B, which is negative, and you speak some words, but that doesn't do anything. You have an encounter with God, C, and it changes A, and then you get D. There's an extra little thing in there, and that's to get to know Jesus. Because that's what life is all about. It's not just, you know, worshiping or edifying the brethren or saving the lost or getting your body healed or something like that. We're not just getting a job done. We're getting to know one who's already done it all. Then the job gets done. When you've met the one who's done it all, then you see it happen. Then you see it all take place. But many Christians skip over God, and therefore the word they have, which is a true word, you know, about healing or about anything, whatever, something good, wonderful. But if you don't meet God, it's not real. God wants to have his little mark on everything. He wants to get the glory out of everything. He doesn't want you just to take something he gave you and borrow from him and then come back later and tell him what a good thing you did. He wants to go with you. When he gives you 5 talents, he is the talents. You see what I mean? I mean, he doesn't just create you and leave you. He creates you and goes with you. He breathes into you the breath of life. And when you're born again, he breathes into you and he stays with you, and you have the implanted word in you, and that word is alive and active and sharper than ever. It actually does some work. You don't just do work, you develop a relationship. Everything in life is relationship. Everything is love. God is love. When it's all done, there's nothing but love. There's only two possibilities in life, death and love. You know, call it what you want to, but that's the only life and death, light and darkness, you know, whatever. But God is love. He is life. He is life. All these words are all the same thing. Life is the same as light, is the same as love. Now you see the movement in all of these things. Look at how they move. Now watch the opposite. Death is the same as darkness, is the same as hatred, and so on. There's no movement here. There's no movement at all. To be in God is to be alive, because God is light. He is the author of life. God is light. And light doesn't just stay like this. You know, all right, here, I'll draw light. This is light. You know, that's not light. That's just the thing I drew on the chalkboard. You see, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't go anywhere. It looks like it's going somewhere because I drew these rays there. I make a little wiggle in it, you know, and so on. You know, but it doesn't go anywhere. And even though I put a smile on his face and you think he's, you know, really doing something, that's just a picture. But real light moves. That picture doesn't move anywhere. It doesn't go anywhere. It's dead. But real light is not artificial. It's not just a painting or a picture. God is light, and light is the whole world. Do you realize there's only light and darkness in this world? That's all there is. In the end, you are children of the light and children of the day. In the end, anything in you that's darkness dies. When you're in the light and you're darkness, you die. Because, let's take a negative film. You take film, put it in the light, what happens to it? The negative turns bright light, doesn't it? The dark negative turns light. Because anything exposed to the light is going to die. And in the end of the world, what's going to happen is the light's going to be so bright that all of the impurity has to be separated away. It has to die. It has to go into non-movement. No, they'll never move or grow there. They just weep and gnash their teeth forever and ever, and the worm never dies. It's just always agonizing, never resolving itself. You see, well, we have life. We have life. We're alive. You see that? Because the Word is alive. It's not dead. It's not a dead letter. It's not a letter that killeth. But it's a Word of God that's alive. You see that? You get this Word in you, hide it in your heart. And then you'll find that death won't have any place in you. You'll minister life. When you tell someone, I think your dress is prettier, you know, whatever words you're ministering, they're not life. But when you speak the Word of God, that's life. You know, we don't care what you think about dresses, you know, a thousand things in this world. The only thing we want is the Word of God. Speak nothing but the Word. I don't mean quoting all of the Bible, but I mean those words that generate from God. Maybe it is, your dress is pretty. But it has to be because it's based on the Word. That's said in faith then. When I say that, let that be in faith and not some manipulation that I give to someone or some, you know, some other deal. Everything you do must be in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Everything has to be based on faith. You see how this kind of cripples you? You see how God doesn't want you to just life, but He wants to cripple you. Every time you go to do something, He wants you to first turn to Him. It slows you down. In fact, it kills you. It takes the life out of your normal life, but it's the real life. When you lose your life, you find it. When you try to keep your life, you lose it. It always ends up in death. I thought this was life, but it ends up in death. Because human love is eros, erotic. That which desires something, some object, some person. It turns persons into objects too. And they gratify me. I use them to gratify me. That's death. Eros love always leads to death, because it is death. Eros is death from the beginning. Garbage in, garbage out. You know, if you have it in the beginning, eros is death. That's why God's love is agape. Always beholding Him, always looking at Him, always, you know, spending time with Him. Oh, He just really sets you free. You are freer than the people that look free. We're much freer than you, Hefner. We're much freer. They're bound. Those people are bound who are, you know, having a good time. They're not having a good time at all. Now, the reason that you often think that worldly people have a good time is because there's so many religious people that are so sad looking. They have no joy. Serving God looks miserable. Boy, if I had that choice between religion and life, I'll take life. You know, sinning. Sinning's a lot more fun if it all is, you know, reading the Bible and sitting and listening to a boring pastor and all that stuff. That would be horrible. You know, you sit there in misery and pain and suffer for Jesus your whole life. That's not too exciting, you have to admit. You know,
but if you really love God, you'll do it.
That's not God. Our God is alive. Do you see Jesus doing that? Did you see Jesus sitting everybody down in the little room and lecturing to them? No. Guy's always moving. Did he ever stop? He's always going and moving, you know? Do you see that? There's life to this thing. Light. Love. Always reaching out. See, God doesn't stay up in heaven. He reaches out to the earth. He doesn't. God no longer will be just God. It's like the sun, you know, the rays of the movement part. But actually, you know about the sun, it's like explosions, you know, it's hydrogen, you know, all this boom, boom. It looks like just one thing up in the sky. But actually, it's big boom, you know, there's billions of these, you know, hydrogen bombs going off all the time. Well, God is like in Himself over here. You know, to light years, we're way over here on the earth. It takes so many light years for those rays to get here. But God up in heaven didn't keep Himself in heaven because He's an outgoing missionary God. Look at how He goes up from Himself. Not only Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but He incorporates all creation. He incorporates it. So that which is light will last. It's everlasting. But that which is darkness, the dark side over here, that which is darkness won't last. So I want to stand in His light. And you know what happens when I stand in the light? All my sins are exposed. All my darkness is exposed. See? That's all right, because I'm not afraid. Because He said, fear not. This light is not to destroy, but to give life. Most men are hiding from God. They don't like His law. They're afraid. Because their deeds are evil. They hide from the light. But I'm not afraid. Because that light which comes and exposes me, here it does expose me, sets me free. Doesn't condemn me. I thought it was going to condemn me. I thought when God looked at me with this microscopic light, He'd wipe me out. That's exactly what I thought. When I came to the Lord, I remember thinking, you know, I'm going to get it if there's a God, so I hope there's not a God. Because I'll get it. I knew I was the worst. And after I became a Christian, too, I had the thought, I want to be the worst servant God ever had. That was because I didn't know much. You know, I didn't know, I was not a churchgoer, so I didn't know about people in church. If I had been in church, I would have known better. I would have known I wasn't the worst. But I didn't know anything. So I thought, well, I must be the worst servant God ever had. Awful. No, I really felt that. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, by observation. I just felt, oh, I'm so awful. But nonetheless, here I am standing in the presence of God. And he would say something and I wouldn't do it. You know, I would find in me another law. I find in me the desire to do it, but I wouldn't want to do it. You know, and now I had a want and a want. I had two wants. And I didn't know, they didn't tell me all these rules, you know. I didn't know what that meant. So I just stood there, and the same God that exposed me also forgave me and covered me. He ripped off all my phony clothes and my fig leafing, and what happened? He gave me his blood. He covered me with righteousness. And I just sat there and I grinned. I thought the light was going to wipe me out. I was ready for it.
When you say that, you read the word and you thought that was true.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Good question. It wasn't psychological, no, because psychologically I was gone for. Psychologically, if all I had was psychology, if all I had was checking my inner states, I would have lost out. I would have quit the church or committed suicide or jumped out. But because the word kept saying to me, fear not. Remember, that's what God always said when he came to people. Here's the light coming out from, you know, holy, 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 pure, 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 righteous, righteous, righteous. And here's man, unrighteous, unholy, you know, wanting to hide. But what does God say to the, you know, to Mary or Joseph or the shepherds or whoever he comes to? Fear not. So you, on the one hand, you want to fear. You see God, you shrink back. But on the other hand, you hear him say, hi. You know, hi. You know, you don't know what to do. You got two thoughts now. Here's the guy who's so beautiful, so precious, so light, so bright, so glorious, so terrifying. Yet, he says, don't be afraid. And he says it in such a way you're kind of convinced that he means it. So you stand there for a while, not knowing what's going to happen. You know, kind of back and forth, like, I want to run, but I'm fascinated to stay. Because the word makes me say, you mean you love me a sinner? And I really am. I'm even worse. Now that I'm in the light, I even see it's worse than I thought it was. A little deeper than I thought it was. When I first got a hold of this thing, I thought it was bad. Now I see it's really bad. Worse than I thought it was. And you love me? I don't get it, God. You're not very religious. You don't seem to understand. We've got these things worked out. But the word kept telling me. Now, you had to read the right words, because if I read the wrong words, I'd get the opposite, wouldn't I? Mm-hmm. See? The wrong words, if I had read woe unto you, you know, so on, I'd say, well, that's me. And I did. I read all those words. And I agreed with all those words. I thought to myself, well, then I've had it. But I didn't get out of the light. I kept going back to find out God. You know, I mean, after all, that's what I was. I would go ahead and live it then. I mean, that's all I had. You either kill yourself or you go on living. So I said, well, okay, let's have it out. Either, you know, let's see what this thing is. So I stood there in the light. And that's faith. That's building on the word. Had God not said, I love you, I wouldn't have even tried it at all. I wouldn't even have been interested. I mean, I'm not interested in Hare Krishna and a lot of other junk in the world. Never even pursued it. But this one was interesting. I love you. And yet I felt like he shouldn't, or he wouldn't, or he couldn't. But he did. That amazed me. So the God that exposed me. Now see all the movement in this, all the movements from God's side too. It's also the God that covered me with his love, with his light. It's also the God that empowered me. Now that took me years later before I understood that. But all of this was through the Word. All of this was through the Word. All of this was through the Word. But the Word is alive. Now it took me years. This is all I did for the first few years. I just was exposed and I kept running to the cross to get covered. I'd be exposed. You know, like, okay, that's one of the things I've seen there. It says pray every day. You know, meditate on the Lord day and night and so on. So I know what that said. I know that meant, you know, somehow day and night. Just look at that. I didn't know what hour, but I knew somehow it meant do it. Day and night. It must be two times at least there. Day and night, okay? And I can figure that out. And then I check inside and I didn't want to. I don't want to do it day and night. I just don't want to. Now, I could lie to myself, but in all truth, I knew I didn't want to. And I just thought, they say scriptures at church. That's it. You know, and I'm in seminary. I can get some word. I don't need to do that. I think in my case, I don't have to do it. Now, that was wrong, wasn't it? That was a lie. Nonetheless, that was real. That's where I really was. So he exposed me, and then I thought he'd hit me for doing that.
Jim, didn't I tell you to meditate day and night?
you know. But I say, yes, you did. Now what's going to happen? You know, it's not like, yes, you did. It's more like, okay, yes, you did. Now what's going to happen to me? You know, and I would check around, you know, because he wouldn't tell me. I'd keep looking, you know. And I'd just run to the cross. I learned it was a cross. And somebody said, that's too cheap. That's too cheap. You can't just sin and get forgiven all the time. But I did. All I did, I just did it. And you know what? That pleased God. I'll tell you, my sinning didn't please God. But that I kept running to him didn't please him. And I did that, as I told you before, about 3 years. In 1964, when I sat in seminary on a nice sunny spring morning, the Lord spoke to me. 7 years later, I knew then there I died to the world. But not in fact, just sort of, I knew then I could never love the world with all my heart again. I knew that God was right. So I would say I was convicted there that I was not only sinful, but that my life was empty and vain. I'd never get anywhere. But I did not become a Christian. I, for 7 years, held out. And I knew I'd go to hell. I was sure that there was a God now. I had an encounter with God, but I did not believe in him yet. I mean, I believed that he was. And I even heard that he was a rewarder of men that diligently seek him, but I did not want to diligently seek him. I wanted an alternative. I looked for 7 years for an alternative. You know, I knew now that all of life was wrong, but I still hoped there was some possibility because I didn't like this deal. So that's what she's talking about. Then when I finally met him in 1971, out in Phoenix, Arizona, Christmas. Then, at that point, for 3 years, I then was born again, right there. I knew then that Jesus was God and that he was a rewarder, and I accepted him as my Lord and my Savior, mostly. But I also knew he would be my Lord someday, but I wasn't willing to make him my Lord. 6 months later, I made him my Lord. And then you'd think it would get better from that point on, but it went downhill still. I didn't do any better than I did these other 7 years. And I would make resolves. This time I'd get up, actually, in the morning. But I knew it wasn't what he had in mind, you know. I mean, every once in a while I'd have some really neat times, you know, and I'd ask him if those counted for the other times, you know. No, you have to keep doing it. You know, I couldn't accumulate. Like I read 2 hours today, God, does that count? No. There's no way with God you can't fool him, you know what I mean? I mean, he knows whether you got your heart in it or not. And obviously, even though I now, with my heart, wanted to be a Christian, I had the desire. I had the desire. I did not have the ability. He's in you to will and to do. And so it was little by little, but actually it was all backward for about 3 years. And all I did was sin and get forgiven. Now, there were some exceptions. This is not totally this. But my basic overall walk was lousy. And I just could not see how I could be a pastor here. You know, not only back here I was in seminary already, and I knew I didn't believe in God. I knew that I did not serve God. I knew that I believed in prayer but never prayed. You know, but here I actually knew God now in a loving way, and I received him into my heart, and I gave him my life, and then I made him the Lord of my life here 6 months later in May 1972. And then for another about 2.5 years, I just continued to fail all the time, and I just stayed at the cross. Boy, I really love Calvary. I love the blood. I just put the blood on me all the time. I needed it. It seemed like I needed it more than anybody else, to me. Because I knew a lot. I had a lot of knowledge. I even knew the Word a lot. I devoured the Word. I wanted to read the Word. But I knew that I wasn't obeying. The more I read, the more I was condemned, in a sense, because I could see, gee, I haven't even done that. I was better off than before I read this thing. You know, now that I'm looking at it carefully, I see what it really is saying. You know, if it had just said, love your wife as best you could, I could do that. But it said, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And I said, wow, that doesn't even give a guy a chance. You know? I mean, he did a pretty good job of loving the church, but he died for her and gave himself for her. And I looked inside and I didn't have that in me. I didn't want to give myself for her. I wanted to get for myself. You know. And now that I was a Christian, I knew that was wrong. But I didn't know how to get it right. And I tried. You know, I tried different deals, but they didn't work. All my wood, hay, and stubble, you know, it just kept getting burned up in the light, you know. So I despaired during that time, not my faith. I clung to Calvary. Well, I believe in Calvary. Woo! But I didn't know where the power was. And in 1971, I had been hearing about power here, so I'd heard about the Holy Ghost. And right about in here, just after this that I made in the Lord of my life, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and some other things happened. But even then, miracles took place in my life, but I was way ahead of where I really was. My talk and my few experiences were way out ahead of my walk. It still was not holy. There was very little holiness in me. I was very crude, crummy, and so on. In all honesty, before God. Now, people might have thought I was doing a little better, but as far as I knew what God wanted, He wanted perfection. That meant every thought, every emotion, every deed, every word, everything had to be given to God. And I believed it was possible, you see. Now, I didn't believe it was possible in the sense of being perfect, but I believed it was possible for me never to excuse myself and say I couldn't help it there. I knew that I had no right to ever feel angry, no right to ever feel afraid, and I wasn't afraid. See, that was one of the things He took away about here. I used to be afraid. Another one was I didn't love my mother. Another one was I was immoral. Another one was this. Now, even if I wasn't practicing these things, I knew they were still in there. They were strongholds that I had not beaten. Oh, by faith, I knew Jesus would forgive me, but they hadn't gone. And miraculously, God took them away, but I still wasn't walking in a solid way, because this took years to get all this stuff done. But about this much per miracle. Boy, there was about 10 major miracles in my life in about a year, year and a half period. But then there was still another. You'd think, boy, then you'd really be good after that. But I wasn't, in all honesty. I still blew it. The more I knew, the more I seemed to blow it. I mean, I knew the thing was high. God's law is high. I mean, He wants absolute, complete, total love. Now, here's the thing. I love God, but I wanted to love Him when I wanted to love Him. You know, I didn't want to love Him all the time, yet I knew that was my new nature. My new nature inside of me was a worshiping, loving person. But I hardly met that guy. You know, I didn't know where he was. I looked inside. I couldn't find any guy in there like that. It seemed phony to me when I do it, you know. Glory to God. I mean, glory to God. You know, but I just couldn't seem to bring that out often. Every once in a while, I'd get inspired. Every once in a while, I'd have a nice moment. But I really couldn't drum it up a lot. I couldn't really see that it was that real. And if somebody said, do you really love God with all your heart? I'd say, yes, but only through the blood and the cross. That's the word. Using the word again. But if they said, do you feel that? No. Every once in a while. But do you believe it's possible? Yes. And that's what my problem is. I really believe it's possible. And you know, when you believe something's possible, it makes the gap all the greater, doesn't it? You know, if I really believe that I could love my wife with all my heart, and all my strength, and all my mind, and all my emotions. I mean, I wasn't just holding out for improving a little bit over last year. I believe God was saying that there's no reason why you can't love her today and from now on perfectly. Well, you know, that kind of blew me away. I have to think about that. I mean, here was a guy that hadn't even done, I was even lower than the normal scale. When I got married, I mean, I didn't even love her at all. I didn't even have the human kind of love. I didn't. So to go all the way from that, in all honesty, and live that way for years, used to have these nice arguments and stuff over that. You don't love me. Never. I said, well, you don't love me either. You know? She'd have to admit it. You know? That took her a long time to say that. But I knew she did. I would have. I was hateful. You know? I wasn't good. But God transformed my life, and I had to do all this by faith. Well, from this point on, I had to do all that by faith. I just had to believe that God loved me. And I did. I wouldn't give it up. Even though it looked to me like the devil was right, and, you know, I didn't have a chance. But you know what? God always keeps His word. And not only those few miracles that happened in the beginning, but then great miracles took place in the holiness of my life. So that I really did want to pray. I really did. That became my whole life. I really didn't care about being a teacher or pastor or anything else. I didn't care about anything. I just wanted to know God. You know, I can hardly wait to get away. You know, I really don't enjoy so much doing what I'm doing. I'd rather go away. Tell the truth. I have great joy. But the thing is, when you get in the closet, He sends you back. You know, He doesn't want you to stay in there in the closet. But I love to get away. This is not my life at all. I love to be there. That's real. You know. And if that's real, then this will be real. But it'll only be real as long as it's real. Then you have to go back. When I go home, you see, you are always judging me and critical and thanking me and praising me and blah, blah, blah. It's a bunch of junk. But when I go with God, it's always so solid. I don't ever have to question where He is. I don't ever have to wonder how He's regarding me or think. He knows everything I think. I don't have to explain anything to Him. I can just be so at home, you know? And it always loving. There's always light. There's always power. He not only exposes me, He uncovers me, but He also empowers me. And that's what I began to learn. There was power through the Word. There was power in God. And the more I came to love Him like this, I found I began to have more and more power in my life. I didn't know about that. Yeah, I just thought you sinned and got forgiven all the time. Kept sinning and get forgiven. Sinning, get forgiven. Sinning, get forgiven. Sinning, get forgiven. And that was nice to me. I used to just sin. And now at least I got forgiven. I could like myself. But now God said, okay, well, let's not get too hung up on that. You know, if you love me, then keep my commandments. And I never was a commandment keeper. And now all of a sudden I want to pray and praise things that were impossible for me. And boy, it just is exciting. And I found I surpassed people that were in religion all their lives. I found that I went ahead of people that were supposedly way ahead of me. And they were born back in, you know, 42, 36, and so on and so forth. And people that, they didn't even know God. I couldn't believe it. How could you love God all these years and not be way ahead? How could you still have self-pity in your life, for example, or fear, or anger? How is it you've grown so little in your holiness? Why is it you're still envious of your, you know, this, or you're still unforgiving of your father, or, you know, you still can't so-and-so? I couldn't understand that. Because I had it out down here. You know, we just got on with it. You know, right here I defied him for 7 years, and then here I began to, you know, fail for 3 years, but saw God working. And boy, when, you know, it's just exciting. And I couldn't see how many Christians I met who had no joy. I thought, well, what'd you get? What ticket did you buy? You know, you bought the wrong ticket. You know, this thing's supposed to be good news. I was amazed at so many people who had so little power, so little joy, so little peace, so little, you know, holiness, that I couldn't believe it. I thought, this doesn't make sense. Something's wrong somewhere in the machine. Because I think I read it right. And you know, my wife thought it was weird. And really a lot of people thought I was weird. So I thought, well, maybe I'm weird. So I kept looking in the book to see whether I was weird. And I found that with the book, I wasn't weird. But in the church world, I'm weird, you know. And it doesn't surprise me at all if people think I'm weird. Yeah, that's great. Praise God. I am. But that's the way it is with God. You know, Jesus was weird. Elijah was weird. Luther was weird. Wesley was weird. Let's be weird. Hello. Yeah. Are you afraid of being weird?
No.
If all men think well of you, then woe unto you. You know, I rejoice that I have a bunch of enemies. It gives me something to pray for. Pray for your enemies, bless them, do good unto them that hate you and would despitefully use you. I mean, on purpose, try to get you. There are people, I'm sure, that the devil has set up in this city that actually think how to destroy me. I mean, not just, you know, don't like me or something, but they actually are out to hurt me. But that's mind-blowing to me that they'd waste the time. But I would have done that. I mean, I would have been that way. If I felt someone out there was against what I was doing or exposed me or something or other, I would go home. If I were the other churches, I would hate this church. In fact, if I was a New Testament type church, I'd hate this church as a competition. You know, that's great. I think it's wonderful. You know, and we're just going to bless all those people, you know, love them anyway. We don't care. Do we? We don't care. You know, that's just sin. And, you know, God could forgive me. Forgive anybody. You know. You could never out-sin me. There's nobody that could out-sin me. Now, when you grow up in Jesus Christ, you realize there's no one could out-sin you. If you really know God, you're the worst person on the face of the earth. Oh. See, that's why most of you haven't grown very far, because you still think you have some good redeeming quality. You have none, zero, zilch. Isn't that right? That shows how much you've been with God, because when you're in the light, you don't stand in the light. You are killed, wiped out. But the ones he kills and wipes out, he resurrects just like that quick. Through the Word. The Word that exposes is the same Word. And at the same time, simultaneously, as soon as you're exposed, he doesn't give you time to go ooh and ah. He just covers you. God will never expose anyone without covering. He's not the one out there exposing. Now, the devil may be doing some stuff out there, but God would never uncover someone and not cover them immediately. God's not just into exposing people and letting them run around naked. When God exposes, he always covers. That's what he's in for. Therefore, he won't even touch people that are running around out there and sort of hit them a little bit. He's not going to hit them at all. Just let them go. God isn't out trimming them up. You know, lightning doesn't come on a Hugh Hefner. It's his own sins that do it. God isn't out there actively saying, I'll get him. You know, and just trying to get him. Hey, God can get him that quick if he wanted to. Don't you realize God can wipe out the earth that quick as he did before? He once did that, you know, wiped out the whole earth just like that. He can do it. He doesn't want to. What do you want? Their sins are taken care of. What he wants to do is catch them when they're already you know, beaten down and exhausted and say, hey, there's good news. Anywhere along the road, that's what he sent us for. We're to run along these people and say, hey, Hugh, don't you know Jesus Christ is the answer? You know, and if he looks at you, he should be able to see Jesus Christ. He should be able to see him. He should be able to experience him and say, get out of here. But then in the back of his mind, he thinks, you know, wow. You know, really? Do you know you have that kind of power? Is there anybody that can stand against our word? Now, when you know God as a reality, you're fearless. Perfect love casts out fear. There's nobody that exposed me. You know why? Because I've been exposed 10 zillion times before God. Every day I go and get exposed again and again and again and again and again. You can't come up with anything that I haven't already seen or that God doesn't know about. You know, even if I don't know about it, I don't care about it. He already said to me this morning, I love you. He said, I love you. I experienced that again and again and again. That makes you strong. That makes you powerful. Where does that come from? The word. I know that word comes alive, but it's still the word. I would never accept the word. I don't care how holy it was. Unless it agreed with the word. Every word that comes, remember Mary said, how can these things be? Or, you know, she had to check that angel out. You know, that's always good to do. Angels don't mind that. They expect you to. In fact, if you just bought it, they would know you were phony. But she considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. You know, who is this that's greeting me? You know, and Gideon, when the, you know, man of God was before him, I don't know, they always check him out. Are you for us or against? You know, what side are you on? Joshua, and so on. It's always like that. So, you know, I don't care what kind of feelings or emotions or dreams or visions I have. It's got to agree with the Word. Everything tied down to the Word. So the evangelicals obviously know that, don't they? But they so often, because they've not met the living God, they just turn into letter. But they've got the right culture. The liberals are wrong to change the Word just because it didn't work. The thing that was missing was the living God. And now a lot of charismatics know about the living God, but just talk about him is not for nothing. Or even they have 10 experiences with him is not for nothing. You can't know God yesterday. You can't know God tomorrow. You can only know God now, today, right now, this second. God is here now to heal, to make holy, to love, to forgive, to do whatever needs to be done. He doesn't need to do the same thing in all of us. Some he's exposing so he can cover. Others he's covering so he can empower. Others he's, you know, doing this. Others he's doing that. He does something different for everybody. Everybody's different. The word that goes forth ministers everybody life. I know that I'm a minister of God. I know that I minister life. How do I know that? Oh, I just know it. I just know, even if, you know, if the whole world should be against me, I'd still believe it. But I know I met God. And I know I have life. I know it. And when you met God, you know it. You know it. It's fun. I can tell you laugh and have fun in Jesus. I can tell you've met God. And then if I listen real closely, I'll see that you've been through hell to get there. Because nobody laughs in the kingdom of God but he who's been through hell. And if you can do those two things, you've got it. But if you just have hell, I know you don't have it. And if you just have laughter, I know you don't have it. But if you got both of those, if you can look at hell and laugh, you've got it. If you've been through hell, you know, because this world, nobody enters the kingdom of God except by violence. And nobody can live from day to day except by battle. Nevertheless, you laugh. By faith, you laugh. You just keep laughing. I'm going to laugh all the way. How about you? God's laughing, I'm going to laugh. Is he up there sober face and long face? No. Is he up there worried about sin and all the... He's already beaten the world. He's not panicking that Rockefeller just did this or that so-and-so did that or a new bomb was invented or whatever. He's already seen the whole thing, told you about it, told you that we win. You know, just relax. They're working for us. Everybody out there is working for us. The state is for us. The church is for us. Everything is for us, isn't it? Don't you know that you live in a very friendly world? Because you have a God that is already guaranteed that you will never be harmed by any weapon fashioned against you. Praise the Lord. The truth will set you free. Who is the truth?
Jesus.
How can you get to know Jesus? Through the Word. How do you get to know the Word? When do you read it? Yeah. This is what I'm trying to get at every day. You cannot read the Word except daily. You cannot know Jesus except daily. You cannot know him except daily. It's got to be daily. Someone says, well, I'm going to skip a day. Okay, well, I don't care about that, but meditate on it. But the point is, you learn every day about your beloved through the Word. Take a week off. I'm going to take a week off next week. Take a week off and just get into the Word. Take a week off. Why can't you? You know, or anything. Just carve something out. somewhere where you just do nothing but read the Word. Don't read a commentary, don't do anything else. Just read the Word over and over again. Don't make notes either. I mean, you can if you want to, but I wouldn't even waste time. Just read the Word. Just let it soak in and penetrate and change your life. Most of us never do it. We always think we're going to do it. That's one of these promises, Charlie's promises I made that I never kept. You know, I'm always amazed at my inconsistency, aren't you? You know, how this great, passionate commitment that I make the minute God tells me something, and then how it's 4 years later before I, you know, actually realize I have not kept that. You know, I have made resolutions and, you know, whatnot and so on, and I'm always amazed, because I really meant them when I made them. I'm amazed at how awful, you know, I have been since the day I made that. Nevertheless, I run to the cross, big deal, and when I do, God always forgives me and empowers me, enables me, and then I find I'm doing it. And that's the second great amazement. My first one was, you know, that I made the thing in the first place, then second of all, that I didn't keep it, and third of all, that I kept it, after all. That's God. It wasn't me. That was God, isn't it? You can do anything. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's close now. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray for some people that want prayer. And make sure that you have, that your life is totally built on the Word of God. That you're not built on, you know, feelings or emotions or anything like that. But you're building your life on the Word, not on what you feel about the Word, what you think about it, or anything else. Does the Word not say that we have the total victory? Does it not say He always leads us in what? Do you know that? Do you know that scripture?
He usually leads us in triumph. Do you know that scripture?
Do you know that one?
Always.
Now, you really believe that?
Amen.
If you do, you see, you can rejoice always. If that's true, there's nothing like rejoicing in triumph. If you really are triumphing all the time, that means, you know, when your relatives don't respond correctly, when you don't live up to your own desires and so on, when people disappoint you, you still rejoice, because He always leads you in triumph. Are you that way? Are you disappointed in others and in yourself? Then you need to be prayed for right now. Are you ever disappointed? Are you ever unhappy? I mean, for a moment. You see, even for a moment, it's sin. That quick. Now, you say, well, just a moment. No. I mean, that's what we were wrestling through here, is whether we're going to go all the way or just most of the way. I already knew the religious world wasn't going to ask me to go all the way. This is whether God, I weighed that for 7 years. And when I came to God, I knew it was all the way or not at all. And just in all honesty, I had to say for 6 months, well, I'm going to go all the way, but not today. You know? Can you accept me on that basis? I mean, I know you're the Lord, but in all honesty, I'd be lying and fibbing to you, and I'd be a hypocrite if I said I would give you every thought and so on. I know everything in me is going to help me not to be let you be Lord. You know, I mean, I'm just not ready this day, even though I know the power's in me, and I believe through the Word of God, give me a heavy dose of cross, you know. And then even after that, like I say, He did then act as Lord, even though the only thing I had going for Him was I had faith in Him. But I had no faith in myself, because I could not bring it off. Now, I am strong, but I know it's not me, but I got that down. I mean, I got that down all those 3 years. I was a pastor at this time, preaching wonderful sermons. You know, people didn't know, really, you know, they just visited. Nice minister, because they're so used to junk, they didn't know that I was worthless.
Amen.
Now, I don't excuse the people, because the people get what they want. They get exactly what they want. If you want the truth, then you're gonna have to dig for it. You're gonna have to hunt for it. It doesn't just lay around somewhere. It's just people want it, they have itching ears to hear the stuff they want to hear. Well, that's why the churches are full. It's not because the ministers are all evil. I agree. You know, but it's not just that. It's all the people want it that way. You know? When you don't want it that way, and when you're willing to break your whole tradition and break that whole church over the gospel, then things will happen. There'll either be conversions or you'll be kicked out. That's the kind of church we should have. Where either everybody converts or you get kicked out and go and start another one. Oh, wouldn't the devil then be excited? Wouldn't that be exciting? This is God's word. Period. He's not going to fool around now.
I feel led to share with you when we went to Colorado several years ago and it just received the Holy Spirit. A young minister had come to this small Methodist church and he'd been under Hagen's ministry and had received the Holy Spirit, and he was so dynamic and everyone was open. And at the end of the service, he said, how many people here are not sure if you're going to heaven when you die?
Mr. Colford and I sat there because we knew we had received the Holy Spirit and felt the love of the Lord. Every person stood up. And you know that young minister did not know what to do? And he just left him standing there. And he just said, well, isn't this a lovely day? And isn't this a lovely day? I could not believe my ears. But I thought that he hadn't been empowered, right? Something was needed yet in his life. But he was doomed to move to another town. And they're still waiting for us to come and tell.
Those
so let's all go.
Those people are still standing there. Someone here that wants healing also, and we're going to pray for that too. But let's start with this. Any kind of expectation, I'll tell you, the one thing that blocks healing, one thing, doubt is one, but that's not what I'm talking about, unforgiveness. That's the only thing that blocks healing. So if there's any kind of misconnection between you and someone else, that is unforgiveness. You may say, well, I forgave them, but unforgiveness means you're completely free and loving and receive love from them even if they're hating you. You know, you're just very comfortable in their presence. If you're not, you have not forgiven. And that can block healing. And you keep healing from them too often. We bind them. So let's be free from all expectations of others and all disappointments of others. And in ourselves. Never be disappointed in yourself. Always say, oh, I'm so glad I am right where I am today. Let's say that. Oh, I'm so glad that I am right where I am today. Say, don't think, God is unhappy with me because I'm not further along. Hey, just enjoy yourself. You know, if you need healing today or salvation or forgiveness, you get it. Isn't that God's got it ready for you? If you need exposure, he'll do that. Whatever you need, he's going to give you. But he's not going to cover you. He's going to fill you with power. When you will be wherever you are. You know, if you've already been covered, then you'll get power. If you haven't been covered, he'll cover you. If you haven't been exposed, he'll expose you. Whatever. But he always goes on. He always goes on. So let's get everybody set free today in Jesus' name. Let's have all of those that have some kind of disappointment in themselves or others just raise their hand right now. Okay, it's just about everybody. Praise God. Well, have a happy day. let's all pray together. Father God, I thank you that you love me before I give up, before I quit sin. I thank you that you're happy with me while I'm disappointed. I'm even disappointed in myself for being disappointed. But you're not disappointed in me or unhappy with me. You're happy with me. You love me long before I fix up, because I can never fix up. You have fixed me up in the blood of Jesus. I stand on that word. I don't see the blood. I see the word. I thank you for that living word that cleanses me before I see it, before I experience it. And now I confess,
I have been disappointed
in others,
in myself,
and I confess it, even in you.
I
wondered where you were.
Why
you didn't help me.
Why
you didn't make me different.
I was disappointed in you, God.
But I'm not now.
That's a lie.
And I'm not disappointed in myself anymore. Because I agree with your word. Which says, I am holy.
I am pure.
I am clean.
And
I forgive others for not being all they could be.
For
not living up to their potential. For not loving you like they should.
Not
letting me help them like I could.
For
misunderstanding me.
For
seeing me as an enemy.
When
I'm really their friend.
For
insulting me.
By
not accepting me. I love them.
I forgive
them. And I forgive them for not forgiving me. I thank you, Lord God.
I thank you, Lord.
From this hour I'm free.
This hour I'm free.
I am free.
I am free.
I will not be bound again.
I will not be bound again.
Safe.
In the name of Jesus,
I command you to go,
and you will go,
and you will not come back.
I post an angel at the door
of my life,
my home,
my household.
You will not enter anything that's mine.
I break your assignment,
and
every demon,
every relative.
Of demons.
I
break them now in the name of Jesus.
I break them now in the name of Jesus.
You must go.
You must go.
You're gone.
You're gone.
I don't have to wait to see if you're gone.
I don't have to wait to see if you're gone.
You're gone because the word said you're gone.
The word said you're gone.
I have authority.
I have authority.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I have all authority.
I have all authority.
Over all the power.
Over all the power.
Of the enemy. And I just used it.
And
that decree will stand.
And that decree will stand.
You can come knocking.
You can come knocking.
But Jesus won't let you in.
Jesus won't let you in.
The angel will prevent you.
The angel will prevent you.
I resist you in the name of God.
I resist you in the name of God.
Because I have humbled myself.
Under God.
Under God.
Which means.
I have believed the word.
I believe the word.
That's humility.
That's
faith.
That
pleases God.
That's
my worship.
That's
my love. That's
my joy.
That's my freedom.
That's
my power. In the name of God,
I cut off all my enemies.
I dwell in a large place. A table has been set before me
in the presence of my enemies.
A table spread in the wilderness.
A feast
with much joy
and
great rejoicing.
I am healed.
I am forgiven.
I am free.
I am full of power.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now we'll do some more, but let me just ask, did anybody experience anything while we were in prayer? Yes? Delphine, just give a brief testimony.
Just a lot. I know that God answered you.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. You had an actual experience. Yes? You were healed. Praise God. Can you tell us how? Praise God. Amen. Oh, that's sweet. Thank you. Yes, Anne.
I had the same experience that she did. Satan moved away. The same thing she had,
yes.
About forgiving.
Oh, no.
Freedom.
Ooh, praise God. Ooh, yeah. That's exciting. Yes.
Well, I had just like a tightness in my mind. And in my heart, it's just all mine. I feel at home.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet. Someone else had. Yes, Betty.
It's about 225 degrees in here. The power is just moving so beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Oh, amen. Anyone else? Yes, Nina.
I did a little bit before you started that prayer.
Yes, yeah, because it already had begun. The power of God is here. Anyone else? Yes. Yeah, and it's just gone. It's just disappeared. Now, don't doubt. Don't doubt. I mean, don't struggle. You know, on that, but don't doubt. It's happened. Now just rejoice. I mean, don't struggle not to doubt. Just rejoice. It's happened. God kept his word. Now, I want to pray for those that even though you know it took place, the manifestation is not yet in your body or in your mind. If you have any kind of anything in you that you sense there's a little more that needs to be done, even though we did it in faith, but you haven't seen the manifestation, I want to pray for you. Specifically. So, is there anyone else who needs any kind of healing whatsoever? Yes, Elaine. Okay. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, this is the time. You'll have to go this other way. Come around. I want some of you ladies, just like you did before, to come forward. Let's pray for them right now. I want you to gather around Elaine and what's...
Grace.
I want you. We're going to pray for Grace. Anyone else? Grace, I want you to come forward here. We're going to pray for you and Arlene. And we're all going to walk away from here excited, delivered, and set free in every way. Praise the Lord. Parkinson's disease. Okay, and that's where it kind of makes you shaky.
Right.
Right. And how long have you had that? Right. You sensed that there was something anyway, and so
yes.
It's confirmed it. Right. Praise the Lord. All right. Does anyone have any oil? Somebody must have some oil. Right? Do you have any oil?
Lorraine's got
all these spiritual Christians.
Do you have it out there?
No, we don't. No, I ran out the other night. Who does? Oh, good. Yeah. We're going to anoint you with oil. You all have to go out and buy some olive oil. Here, this is it. I've got some right here. This is it. Okay. Amen. Oh, that's exciting. Have you ever been healed by God? Have you ever experienced the healing of God? Well, God wants to heal you right now and to have that manifest to actually experience it. It is God's will that you be healed. God wants to heal you. He can heal you. He's going to heal you. It's already done. Jesus, so we do believe that. There's no way God doesn't use sickness to teach us or to chastise us or do anything. It's God's will that you be helped so you can serve Him all the days of your life. You have a ministry?
Yes, I do.
Amen. Well, that ministry is not served by Parkinson's disease. No. And that's the devil trying to steal, kill, and destroy us. We're going to break his hold over you right now, and you will be set free by the Word of God. The Word does it. The Word does it. We do. We need the Word. We don't look for experiences, we just believe the Word. You have confessed all of your sins that you know of. That's all you need to do. Right. And you confess as we did here that anyone that held anything against you, you've forgiven them. And if you held anything, you've forgiven them. You're clean. That's the only thing that the devil can do. So you're clean. You will be healed in the name of Jesus. Father, in your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we believe right now, Lord God, that this Parkinson's disease is an attack from Satan on a child of God, a daughter of Abraham, and in the name of Jesus Christ right now, we humble ourselves under the Word of God, and we rebuke the devourer. What you have taken from my sister, you had a right to do, you no longer have a right to do it. In the name of Jesus, we've broken it through the Word, and the Word of God is greater than the word of Satan. And Lord God, I thank you, the accuser of the brethren of this dear sister has been cast down. Grace will now receive grace upon grace upon grace for healing. And in the name of Jesus, right now, your body must line up with the Word of God. Oh, Lord God, I thank you that right now this Parkinson's disease must go. In the name of Jesus, we command you, Parkinson's disease, to go. In the name of Jesus, this body belongs not to grace, but to Jesus Christ. This is the body of Christ. This is the body that belongs to the kingdom of God. This is the body that's going to bear glory and testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ with many thanksgivings. In the name of Jesus Christ right now, Grace, lift your hands to God and just receive the healing power of God. Lift your hands to God and just receive the healing power of God in your body. Just say, Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. And the Parkinson's disease must go in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Open the chiribos of the Amosol of the Nichiki. Open the Amosol of the Nichiribos. Blessed be the name of the Lord God, Satan. You've been defeated, you liar. In the name of Jesus, what doctors couldn't do, Jesus could do. Jesus has done it, and we rejoice greatly in the power of God. Glory to God in the highest. You came believing, sister, and you're going to go home healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah and glory. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Did you feel it? Amen. Praise God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. God is good. God is good. Well, Grace, you're up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Arlene, I want you to come up here also. We're just going to lay our hands on you. Amen. Your mind. Okay? If you're beleaguered by doubts, thoughts, accusations, condemnations. Everybody just lay their hands on her. Right? Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God. We just thank you right now that the liar, who was a liar from the beginning and a murderer, a death dealer, has sought to harm our sister, and this has gone on too long. I thank you, Lord God, that Earlene right now has come to the end. This is the last day. It can't go on any longer. This is the final hour. We believe right now, Lord God, that your word is mighty and powerful in this room. We believe right now that the unction of God is upon our sister, and that our sister is going to receive the desire of her heart to be free forever. That from this day forward, little by little, day by day, in the word, she is going to experience the love of God. The love of God in an experiential and real way. No longer will it be words on a page. The scales of your eyes have fallen this day, my sister. Never again will Satan lie to you. From now on, you will catch him every single time. From now on, the devil will never sneak up on you. He will never have victory and power over you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare it, and the word of God is true. The word of God cannot fail. The word of God says that he always leads us in triumph. This day, you are not only born again and filled with the Spirit of God, but you are set free from the lies and snares of Satan. This day, in the name of Jesus, never again will you be attacked. This day, never again will that weight be upon your back and that constriction around your body. This day, your mind is going to be released. That vice is going to go and release in the name of Jesus. Satan, we command you in the name of Jesus, let go of our sister's mind. Let go in the name of Jesus. We declare the word of God on you. We declare the word of God on you, against you. You will never again... You will never again go over that word. You will never again get around that word. You will never again stop that word. She has been set free in the name of Jesus. And now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, we anoint you, we protect you, we cover you by the word of God. I thank you, Lord God, that your word is alive and active and powerful, and that all of that inner pain and tension and sorrow and sadness and self-pity and everything else that has so long been familiar, you must go in the name of Jesus. Every one of you, you must go in the name of Jesus. You cannot abide any longer in this pure and glorious house of God. This is the house of God. This is the temple of God. Earlene, you are the temple of the living God. You have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have stumbled. You have gotten up, you have fallen again, you have gotten up, you have fallen again, you have gotten up, you have fallen again. Seven times the righteous fall, but the Lord lifts them up. And this time you will not fall. This time you will stand. This time you will stay standing. This time the enemy, when he comes, will come up against the word of God. This word will not be a letter. This word will be a living word of God. Out of your mouth you will say, I am victorious. I am victorious. He has led me in triumph always. He has led me in triumph always. And in the name of Jesus, that pain that's right now in your side, that pain that's in your side, that's in your chest, I command it to go in the name of Jesus. It's on the right side of your chest right now in the name of Jesus. You go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, go. That pressure that's on your chest right now, not just in your head, but in your chest, you go in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to set my sister free in such a way that she's going to go home rejoicing and singing. She's going to praise you and love you because she can't do otherwise. I thank you, Lord God, that you have been a covenant keeper from the foundation of the world. My sister has now received the grace of God. My sister has now received the grace of God. Just lift your hands to heaven and just say, I receive the grace of God for my complete and total healing. I am a saint in the eyes of God. That thing in my head has to go. It's gone. I don't care if I feel it. Satan, you're a liar. I'm free. The scales are fallen. My breast is strong. My inner man is strong. I'm healed from head to foot. From now on. I love Jesus. Jesus delights in me. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. That's my song. From now on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
In Ezekiel 16, he said, I walked by you and I saw you laying in your own blood, and he wrapped you in swaddling cloth. He said to you, live.
You're
born. That's the word of casting you in Ezekiel.
liked it, didn't you? You came into love. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
You're ready. I'm right. Ready.
Thank you.
Jeremy.
Yes.
I walked in prayer, and I'm not, maybe all of us, I'm not sure, but I'll be really brief. There is a lady in our church who's been consistently quite ill. She's a believer, and she's beautiful in the Lord. And on two occasions, I had felt impressed to go visit her and had not. And this little Wednesday night Bible study that we have with the pastor, I have one thing. I feel like this is a corporate prayer closet.
Yes.
Amen. Okay. So then last Wednesday night, he was saying, he almost said he wished, oh goodness, there were only 10 of us there. He said, if there were only 12 of you, held our breath. And I felt like I was supposed to go see her, so I did. And one thing that I yet got as an impression, she's a beautiful believer. She's not distanced to me by miles. But there was a hesitation, and it was, I will not ask God to heal me. He knows I'm ill. So I left with that. Well, the Lord showed me that I had a block. He gave me a scripture to take back this coming Wednesday night. But I had a block.
Good.
And it was financial. So I finally wrestled with that and did it. But then yesterday was, you know. So this morning, with your prayer a while ago, I had a really big block. It was, you know, for my family.
Yeah.
One thing you said at the end was not to dwell on it, see, let it be. Keep. Well, I've got the scripture, and I don't know how to get past that, but I'm to go Wednesday night and to tell them that I want somebody in another group to believe with me and do things like that.
Good. Good. Let's just put hands on it right now. I know exactly how to pray. Let's just put hands on it right now. Oh, Father God, I thank you that you are sovereign God. You are sovereign God. Even should we not pray, you would deliver us, you would heal us, you would take care of us. I thank you that you are sovereign God. But I also thank you, Lord God, that you are not only sovereign God, but you are the sovereign God that lives in us through your word. And therefore, we don't just wait for you to do good, but we ourselves are actively involved in asking you and in taking the authority that we've been given, and not just wait on the sovereign God, but to let the sovereign God live in us through the word, having our authority to make things happen. And I thank you, Lord God, that we now proclaim that this sister will be set free as my sister prays and obeys that word you've given her. And that we will take authority in the name of Jesus right now and not just wait on the sovereign God to do something. We believe that if everything fell apart, you'd still be sovereign God and it'd be good. But we believe that it will not fall apart and that you have given us authority to go forward in the name of Jesus and to take that which is ours by right, by inheritance, by divine authority. I think our sister is a little afraid, this one that's sick, to use authority. She's afraid that she'll get in the way of God. She's afraid that she'll interrupt the sovereignty of God. She's afraid that she better just let God do what he wants to do. But this is what God wants to do. He wants us to take authority. He wants us to ask. You have not because you ask not. He wants us to take that authority we've been given. If any should be sick, let them call. And they shall be healed in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, that you commanded us to pray and you promised to heal. And therefore, we know that this prayer that my sister is going to pray will not only include the sovereignty of God, which is good, but will include the authority that we have in Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I thank you that Christ is still alive. He's the active God, and that he will right now anoint my sister here to know that she has authority to use and to exercise and not to wait for circumstances or for 12 or for 10 or 2. She has the whole of heaven on her side, and when she prays, things are going to happen. And if there's not even one other believer in the room, her prayer alone will create a great miracle of God. And so our prayers go with her, and we empower her now in the name of Jesus to go forth in the word of God to bring forth a great victory for the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. You have a blessed day. Go forth rejoicing like calves leaping from the stalls.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God.